Welcome back to the Nook North Podcast. I'm Kristen Bry with Kirk Bankstead and Pat Kreitlow.
And our guests this time around are talking about PFAS, a short and firm form of forever chemicals, as they're called. Zach Vruwink is the city administrator in Rhinelander. Doug Oitzinger, former mayor of Marinette, current city alder, founding member of Save Our Water, SOH2O.
Okay, so let's start talking about what's actually happening right now. Doug, I know you've been following this more than probably the rest of us. I'm sure Zach has as well. But what are all the PFAS parts of what was put into the budget bill that Wisconsinites need to have to be safe? And what was taken out and what was left in? And what are the repercussions of that?
Well, basically, the governor proposed a number of positions in the DNR and Department of Health Services to deal directly with PFAS. I mean, our agencies are overwhelmed right now. 2 years ago, we had 30 contamination sites in the state. Now we have over 70. That's in 2 years' time. So they're playing catch up, and it's not easy for them. So the main thing we're dealing with is money. The governor also had some specific language in there that would make it easier to get actual rulemaking accomplished. The Republicans took all of that out and left one segment of funding on PFAS in the budget. And that, you know, it's window dressing. It's money that would pay for fire departments across the state of Wisconsin that has AFFF firefighting foam with PFAS in it, to turn it in and get it replaced with a non-fluorinated firefighting foam, and that would pay for that. Now, that's a good thing.
Right, but like you said, it's a feel-good thing and does nothing about the sites themselves. And to clarify, when you say we went from 30-some sites needing cleanup to 70-some sites, it doesn't mean that there was suddenly all this pollution happening. It means these sites are being discovered from what could have been decades ago that these chemicals were involved, right? Because, Zach, let me turn to you for a minute. In Rhinelander, I mean, part of it was that for decades, you know, they were talking about sludge being, you know, spread out near the airports and things, which is why I talked about it maybe being not such a non-point source of it. But you wouldn't have seen that for years until it showed up in the water. And I have to believe that's going to be the case in many more spots around Wisconsin based on your experience.
That's right. I mean, as communities have to test, whether it's by their own accord and they don't know the repercussions and not having protections from the state to be able to protect people, there's a lack of confidence in doing your own testing and really knowing what are really the solutions and the options for remedying the contaminated water sources in communities. You know, should there be a catastrophe like in Rhinelander where, let's say, another well goes down, we're faced with having to return those wells into service and contaminating our drinking water supply again, simply to provide water to our residents and to our industry. And that's certainly not something that's a sustainable or a healthy solution for anybody.
Wait, so Zach, tell me, if PFAS is discovered, you've got, what, 2 out of 4 wells working right now?
Yeah, we actually have 8 wells, but they're all kind of co-located. So one could say that, you know, there's probably 4 total high capacity wells. Yeah.
So if you lose any more wells, I mean, we're getting into like third world country status at that point, right? Like, what happens if all the water's too polluted to drink? I mean, what does Rhinelander do?
Yeah, you really need to provide an emergency water source. And as Doug had mentioned, the DHS has limits established, but the DNR hasn't finished the rulemaking process. And then they have to go through public hearings and then the legislature to ultimately adopt those rules and standards. So we're a long way off of really knowing what municipalities and others that provide drinking water need to provide treatment or testing to whatever standard. So in that case, it's simply bringing water trucks to places like Rhinelander, and we know that that's not a solution. There's treatment technologies that are in existence in the country and around the world that we could bring to places like Rhinelander to restore those 2 wells to operation. But because of the partisanship and because of the debate, and not really coming to the center on a consensus on this, we're faced with a situation where those wells, who are to us new wells, remain suspended.
And here's the irony of that, is that a year ago, 2019, prior to the pandemic, one of the things we heard about most out of the Capitol was the Speaker's task force on clean water or on water quality. And it did not just look at PFAS. It looked at everything from high capacity wells to nutrient runoff from farms to lead pipes in Milwaukee. I mean, just there, we love to say how proud we are to have clean water in Wisconsin. But if the Speaker's task force showed us nothing, it showed us that there are multiple ways where the cleanliness of Wisconsin water is being threatened. And yet it is that same Speaker and that same assembly where these most recent rules and remedies on PFAS have gone to die. You know, Zach, you're a city administrator. You've been a mayor. You've talked about trying to find that consensus, that middle ground. And I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but that has to be awfully hard when there doesn't appear to be anybody on one side of the aisle to point to and say, this is a bipartisan obstacle we have to overcome.
Yeah, I find it no coincidence that the task force showed all the problems and the complexities associated with it, and it showed how woefully underfunded the study is to remedy and provide clean water to residents and industry. You know, for pro-business and pro-growth, that also comes with the responsibility of providing clean water. And as somebody who is working every day to bring you know, better housing solutions and you know, a cleaner, safer roadways to our residents and et cetera, we need to deal with the clean drinking water issue, or it's going to be such a insurmountable cost at some point in the future. So, you know, if we're going to be fiscally responsible, addressing this with funding now is the most responsible way to deal with it. And I think I feel for the 600 and some municipalities around Wisconsin who have not done a form of testing, and at the same time, who are not going to have the resources to be able to address this. You know, Rhinelander's done some great partnerships with UW and some of the programs there. We actually just are applying for a USGS study to work with the federal government on doing some additional study. But these are all on our own accord. You know, we're trying to fit these in alongside the other priorities, all the while the state sits on the sideline and legislature sticks its head in the sand on addressing this issue for the long term.
Go ahead, Kristen.
So as someone who I feel like tries to consistently think about big, complicated, if not boring issues, and how do we, that are very important, like exactly like this, and how do we hold people accountable for the decisions that they're making at election time? And so how do we make this clear? Because since coming back to Wisconsin, in such a purple state, there's all these, you know, red versus blue arguments. Clean water seems like one of the few things that everyone agrees on, especially everyone in Wisconsin agrees on. And so how do we translate this pretty dire issue to get people to actually hold the people who are making decisions and holding kind of a lot of the drinkable drinking water hostage? How do we communicate that to voters?
Well, if I can answer that.
Sure, go ahead, Doug.
Because we just had a special election up here to replace Representative Nygren, who resigned after he got reelected. Everybody runs on, they're an environmentalist and they're for clean water. But they have this amazing word whenever you talk about legislation. The word is but. I'm for clean water, but. I'm for the environment, but. But that bill is too much regulation. But that bill will hurt Wisconsin jobs. We've got to say, you're not for clean water if you use that next word, but. And we are literally talking about poison. We're talking about poisoning children. We're talking about poisoning pregnant moms. We're talking about poisoning people when we let these types of contaminations get in their drinking water supply. We've got to be a lot tougher, and we've got to call people out. And it's going to be a long fight, because the moneyed interests do not want these things regulated. They're making too much money on them.
Doug, I've heard some horror stories of medical issues that have sprung up in your area. I heard a woman lost her thyroid or something potentially because of PFAS. Can you, two-part question. One, what is actually happening to people's health? And there's deer, like health, the hunting aspect of it, and where is it in Wisconsin? Like, is it, I mean, because we don't even know. So there's a three-part question. Health, as it relates to like hunting and fish and deer, and then where, how do we know where it's at?
Well, there was a classic study done, an epidemiological study done coming out of the DuPont lawsuit in West Virginia. Movie Dark Waters was made about it. And they basically come up with a number of illnesses that are related to high levels of PFAS in the blood. Testicular cancer, thyroid problems, immune deficiency issues. Think about that during COVID-19.
Yeah.
Learning disabilities. I mean, there's a series of things, medical issues that have been identified. Can we relate specific medical issues in our community to PFAS? Well, there's been no study, so no, we can't. But there's a tragic story of a young man who went to Marinette High School and got testicular cancer and had been drinking the water that we now know is contaminated. And out of his class, it was like four or five of his fellow classmates all got testicular cancer. That is off the charts in terms of, you know, how many cases you would have per 100,000 people. So that's that. We already have at our urging, at SOH2O's urging, we got the DNR to test some deer. They actually shot the deer in the city of Marinette, tested them. Now we have a deer advisory, don't eat deer livers because they found PFAS in it. Fish, well, Madison, you got it in your fish there. You got it in your fish in Lake Superior. You got, you know, it's in the Bay of Green Bay. It's going to show up in fish. It's a little bit different than other contaminations because it's not showing up in the fat. It's showing up in the meat of the fish. And it seems to attack the smaller fish rather than the larger fish.
And yet for all of these problems, what's documented and what's still being researched, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is having their hands tied by a lawsuit from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which claimed the DNR cannot test for PFAS because there's no agreed upon standard. But there's no agreed upon standard because WMC was able to convince Republican legislators to weaken or neuter what few standards existed. So, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that the DNR can't take care of this.
They right now, they have two lawsuits in. One of the lawsuits, the one that I'm trying to intervene in, is that, you know, the DNR shouldn't be forcing anybody to do anything unless they've set a rule. Then when the DNR goes to set a rule, because I've been in those hearings, WMC comes and say that rule is out of bounds. So they're fighting it every which way they can.
Exactly.
And the strategy is let's wait till the next election. Maybe we'll get more favorable people in Madison.
And it just comes down to, you've got to call it what it is, protecting polluters. And with that, we want to thank you guys so much, Doug Oetzinger and Zach Vruwink. Thank you. Good luck with everything that you're having to deal with there. And we hope that we can have you on again with a happier update sometime down the road. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We will be back in just a bit. You're up north.